your family, especially the young ones in college. Unlike other water filtration systems, Berkey purifiers are portable. They require no plumbing, and the elements don't have to be replaced every 4 to 6 months. Perfect for anyone on a tight budget, and more importantly, if there's an unexpected emergency, your loved ones will be prepared. That's because Berkey systems are able to purify raw, untreated water. Check out our Christmas specials at BerkeyWater.com. With one of our quantity specials, you not only get a discount.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion and delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and, well, for the next hour, they're going to be the views of Chris Pinto, who's a video producer. He's done a number of excellent ones. We carry his Megiddo 1, his Megiddo 2, his Secret Mysteries of America's Beginnings, his Riddles in Stone DVD, and now, of course, we're hoping very, very soon to be carrying his DVD entitled The Eye of the Phoenix. The Eye of the Phoenix. And so why is that important? What is the Eye of the Phoenix? What is this really all about? Chris, thanks very much for being with us this afternoon.
Well, thank you for having me, Dr. Stan. It's always good to be on your show.
Well, tell us a little bit about what is the Eye of the Phoenix? What are we talking about here? Why is this important in this day and age?
Well, I think, the title Eye of the Phoenix has to do, well, not only with the symbolism of the American eagle, which many people believe was originally intended to be a phoenix bird. And certainly that's the theory put forth by Manly P. Hall, Hall, who is considered Masonry's greatest philosopher, and who was writing many of his books about the secret destiny of America and a lot of the secret symbolism of the secret societies in the years prior to the placement of the Great Seal on the dollar bill. But I think it also represents the all-seeing eye that hovers above the unfinished pyramid. And the symbolism, as we explain in the film, really does fit together. And it has to do with ancient legends and mythologies, especially dealing with the Holy Grail as we unfold in Wolfram von Eschenbach's Grail legend, which is very interesting because during the era of FDR over in Germany, von Eschenbach's legend Parsifal, which deals with a lot of this symbolism of the phoenix and the grail and so on, and this idea of achieving perfection and the perfected man. These were ideas that were picked up by Richard Wagner in his opera, and he based his opera Parsifal on Eschenbach's tale. And this was, of course, very influential in the life of Adolf Hitler and the entire Nazi movement. In fact, people may know the movie Valkyrie that was out in theaters here a short time ago. And, of course, the name Valkyrie is from one of Wagner's operas. And part of the film deals briefly with the tremendous influence that Wagner had upon Adolf Hitler. But, again, his writings deal with this whole idea of the Grail quest that was very prominent during this era and was also a point of preoccupation not only with somebody like Manly Hall, but also with Nicholas Roerich, and then the Vice President of the United States, Henry Wallace, who during this time was the Secretary of Agriculture. And it was Wallace in particular who was directly responsible, over FDR for the placement of the Great Seal on the back of the dollar bill.
I think most people don't understand that the people on the other side hide their emblems in plain sight, and they brag about how they hide their symbols in plain sight, and they look with disdain on us common people who just can't see them. And you're not going to see them unless somebody points them out, any more than you can understand why the whole world is moving into economic turmoil unless somebody explains it to you, and then it's so obvious. But the emblems on the back of the dollar bill really have a strong occult and satanic and Luciferian representation. So what are they doing on the dollar bill? Well, we'll be back in just a moment here with Chris Pinto to develop these ideas. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay. And our guest this afternoon is Chris Pinto, who's actually produced a number of DVDs, which we carry, Megiddo 1, Megiddo 2, The Secret Mysteries of America's Beginning. We actually carry his DVD on Kinsey, and then of course we carry his DVD on the Riddles in Stone, The Secret Architecture of Our Nation's Capital. And all of these are really aimed at going into the background of the spiritual battle that's taking place today. But what most Americans don't understand is that the people on the other side, and there are people on the other side, people of great wealth and great power who've given themselves over to the dark side and to the prince of this world. And of course, if you read the scriptures and you remember Christ, when Jesus is taken to the mount of temptation and the devil says, simply fall down and worship me and I can give you all the kingdoms of this world. How could he give the kingdoms unless he owned them? And he does. And he did then, and he does today. And many of the world leaders are actually disciples of Lucifer. And this is one reason the world's in the terrible shape it is today, especially here in America that was once a Christian nation. But who would call it a Christian nation today? We have the form of Christianity, but unfortunately very little. If we were put on trial for accused of being Christians, I doubt very much whether America would ever be convicted of being a Christian nation today, although we once were. Well, under any circumstances, there are all sorts of occult emblems on the back of the dollar bill, and Chris has put out a wonderful new DVD called The Eye of the Phoenix that goes into the background of that, and Chris, you go right ahead and pick up the story.
Well, we tried to come at this thing. I was concerned when we began doing the research and producing it that we were going to end up making a documentary that deals with a lot of the stereotypical information about the dollar bill, you know, the Great Seal Committees and then the number of 13s that are on it and things like this. And is it a Masonic symbol and these kinds of issues that are typically talked about on the History Channel or that, you know, sometimes even Christian leaders, if they're trying to defend the Great Seal as being somehow or other a Christian icon, they'll take up these kinds of issues and so on and debate them. And what we tried to do was to cut through all of that and really to focus on FDR's administration and the people that he was working with, because these are the people who ultimately designed the dollar bill.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment here. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Chris is saying that, you know, of course, what they emphasize in their film is the Roosevelt administration. Of course, Cindy FDR was a 32nd degree Mason. His vice president was a 33rd degree Mason. The Secretary of Agriculture under the Roosevelt administration in 1935 was Henry Wallace, who was into theosophy and masonry and deeply involved in the occult. And these people, recognizing the occult significance of the emblem on the back of the Great Seal of the United States, put it onto the back of the dollar bill. All these occult emblems, they understand what they are, and everything is done to lie to the Christian people and tell you this is a Christian emblem. And where in Christian mythology do you see a pyramid representing Christianity? Or a glorified eye in a triangle representing Christianity? You go up on the internet, you look at the Masonic sites, it's there, but this is far more than a Masonic symbol. Yes, it was used by the Masons. It was also used by the Illuminati. But both of them are manifestations of the ancient mystery religions. This emblem has been around for 5,000 to 6,000 years and has always represented the secret societies and, of course, the mystery religions. So you pick the story up there, Chris.
Well, that's really what's going on. I mean, FDR, as you said, Dr. Stan, was at the time a 32nd degree Mason, as was Henry Wallace. And according to Wallace's own account, which is today, you can find this in the State Department's official history. The official history, I think, is called The Eagle and the Shield, A History of the Great Seal of the United States. And they cover the events that led up to Roosevelt making the decision to put this on the back of our currency. And it involves, you know, the official story is that Henry Wallace came across this symbol. He was sitting in a room, you know, and he opened this book on the history of the seal. And as he was reading about it, he was really struck with what he believed was a very Masonic emblem. And the phrase Novus Ordo Seclorum, which means the new order of the ages, but it could also be translated, according to Wallace, into the New Deal of the ages. And, of course, FDR had his whole New Deal program. And so he believed that the Novus Ordo Seclorum and the New Deal were one and the same thing. And so he takes this symbol to FDR, and FDR looks at it, and according to the account, he's struck by the all-seeing eye. And that the all-seeing eye to them is the, you know, the eye of the great architect of the universe. And he also saw that the Novus Ordo Seclorum was the New Deal of the ages, and believed that it could only be brought about under the guidance of the great, you know, the eye of the great architect. And so that's when they decided to put this on our currency. But the accounts, the histories, when you dig into some of the writings, for example, the book Tournament of Shadows, that deals a lot with Roosevelt's administration and what was happening in the years prior to World War II, to the outbreak of the Second World War, especially surrounding events and politics in Central Asia. And this is where a very mysterious guy named Nicholas Rurik was involved. And Rurik was a Russian painter. He was a mystic. He was very close. He was a member of the Theosophical Society, which had been founded by Madame Blavatsky in the late 19th century. And he and his wife, Helena Rurik, were very prominent members of this group. And, in fact, Rurik was seen, according to the New York Times editors, they call him a successor to Madame Blavatsky because he was so deep into mysticism and he was highly respected for his philosophic views and so on. And Rurik was a painter, and he was deemed a brilliant painter. And people looked upon him as a spiritual guru. Two key people in the American government, one was Henry Wallace, FDR's Secretary of Agriculture at the time, and the other was a guy named Louis Horch. And Horch had been appointed to a number of government offices and so on. He was a wealthy investment banker. But both of these guys were Masons. They were 32nd and 33rd degree Freemasons, along with FDR. And they were disciples of Nicholas Rurik. And Horch was so deeply involved with Rurik that he financed some of his travels abroad to different parts of the world. And at one point actually provided the funding to build an entire building in Manhattan called the Master Building. And this building is still there today. And it was supposed to be this, you know, artistic, esoteric, you know, center of thought and philosophy and so on. And it was supposed to be a museum that would house Rurik's many, many paintings that he's done, and also a series of apartments where artists and luminaries and, you know, great minds who are thinking New Age thoughts and so on could come and live and meditate and this kind of thing. Now, the place sounds a little bit strange, you know, and most people have never heard of it, but when you study the history of the building, there's a historiographer in New York right now, a woman named Mildred Spicer, represents this building. And she works currently with the current Rorick Museum, which is located elsewhere in the city. And they maintain the history of the building, and they have gatherings and parties and things like that. And they talk about the influence of Nicholas Rorick, because during this era, prior to World War II, he was a highly celebrated international figure, recognized by the governments of Japan and China and Russia and the United States. If you look up Rorick on AmericanHeritage.com, which deals with a lot of American history, they have a whole article on Rorick and his influence over FDR's White House. And they say there's a quote there that we show in the documentary where they say, the State Department was very nervous about Rorick, but he had influence in the Oval Office. Okay? FDR's mother, who he was very close to, was an admirer of Rorick, his philosophies, his ideas. He had these ideas on world peace, and he's going around talking about how we need to all be at peace with each other. And there was a Rorick Peace Pact that was signed by Henry Wallace in the White House with FDR. And we show some of the images from this. And all of these dignitaries from around the world are there and celebrating Rorick as this international thinker, okay, and philosopher. And then he develops his peace sign that's three circles, okay, with a big circle around it, and that becomes like his great, it becomes his seal, the peace sign. And there are, if you study that sign historically, this went along with the Rorick Peace Pact, but there are, I've even seen pictures of parades with people marching, all holding as flags these peace signs. And they put that on the seal for the cornerstone of the master building, that he's promoting these ideas of world peace and a universal brotherhood of mankind, which, of course, he took from Madame Blavatsky in the Theosophical Society.
But, of course, what people don't understand is these people talk about peace, but they create wars. And the reason that we have wars is because these people have gotten people into positions of power, and certainly, you know, they were in positions of power, and they wanted to get America in the Spanish-American War, and then the Filipino-American War. They wanted to get America into the First World War so they could bring about the League of Nations. They wanted to get America into the Second World War so we could have the United Nations. And they are still trying to, you know, get us into a great war over there in the Middle East so that they can bring about their one world government. People don't understand that these people talk about peace, but of course they're going to create perpetual war so they can one day bring about perpetual peace, because it's totally illogical. When you see things that are illogical, you have to realize there's got to be an explanation. And until we understand the occult influence as it works in the White House, or whether it be certainly with FDR, who was deeply involved in the occult, or Truman, who was a 33rd degree Mason, or certainly we find, you know, that Nancy Reagan was into astrology. We find certainly that Richard Nixon was going to fortune tellers. We know that Hillary brought a medium into the White House to conjure up spirits of Eleanor Roosevelt and Mahatma Gandhi. And there is this strong occult background to so much of what's going on today, but this is never mentioned by the Christian leaders. They have to understand we really are involved in a spiritual battle, and most people have no idea, and yet they hide their emblems in plain sight, and many of them are right there on the back of the dollar bill. But you pick the story up, Chris.
Well, just as you said, Dr. Stan, you know, they talk peace, but then they go to war. And it's that principle of ordo ab chao, order out of chaos. They create the chaos. They're using war as the instrument to break down all the boundaries that separate nations and religions and so on, and to pressure, to create the kind of chaos, kind of like what we're seeing with our economy right now, where the stock market crashes, the housing market goes down, and the ripple effect around the world is people start crying out for a world currency and a new world order, as China and France did when the housing market fell. But anyway, it's the same principle And certainly Rorik was, you know, the more I studied him, he was hand in glove with these guys and these ideas. And he was deeply involved in the occult. And once you realize how deeply involved Rorik was in the occult and how much influence he had over the White House and over Wallace and FDR and all of these guys during this era, it becomes very clear that these symbols were Luciferian that they put forth on our dollar bill.
But of course, it's so difficult for people to believe that that emblem, the triangle over the top of the pyramid, really is, of course, representing a Luciferian a being, the great architecture of the universe who Masons worship. But it's not the God of the Bible, and don't ever believe it is. Well, Chris, you go right ahead.
Well, I think what we, one of the things that I really wanted to do with this film, Dr. Stan, was to prove just what you were saying earlier about how these people really do worship Lucifer. And that is what all the evidence points toward. I mean, without any reasonable doubt. Henry Wallace was a member of the Theosophical Society, and Nicholas Rorik was a member. And they were all into these mystical ideas that had been promoted by Madame Blavatsky. And, of course, Blavatsky, in her book, The Secret Doctrine, she, in no uncertain way, she is telling her readers that Lucifer is God. And that the Garden of Eden account, just as the Gnostics taught, and just as Albert Pike taught in Morals and Dogma, that the Garden of Eden account, where God forbids man to partake of the tree of knowledge, that God there, and they acknowledge that he's the creator God, that he's the God who created Adam and Eve. They say this specifically. They call him the Demiurge and so on, and Ialdabaoth, that's another name that Albert Pike uses. From ancient Gnosticism, but they call God the devil. They say he was a spirit of darkness, okay, who forbade, you know, mankind from partaking of the tree of knowledge and so on. And but that Lucifer, the serpent, was an angel of light and is supposedly the true God of goodness. And they spell this out. I mean, there's no ambiguity. There's no ifs, ands, or buts, or maybes. They are just very, very clear, and they say it over and over and over again.
In fact, anybody of those of you in the listening audience, if you've read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, we actually take the pages from Albert Pike, where he actually talks about how in the Garden of Eden it was the demon who told Adam and Eve not to eat of the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, but the angel of light came and gave them freedom, and they were able to eat the fruit, and that was what set them free. And you're reading this thing, and you're saying, what in heaven's name are they talking about? What were they really talking about is Gnosticism, the Gnostic belief that there are two gods. And because somebody says they believe in God, you want to know what God they believe in, because the Gnostic God is Lucifer, and they believe that is the true God, and that the Christians worship the wrong God. And once you understand that, you can begin to read the esoteric literature, and it makes sense. Otherwise, it is planned to confuse you. And you'll see this, these themes carried through in our motion pictures all the time. You'll see this on television, and you won't recognize it. And as you're watching the theme of the story, you're sort of scratching your head saying, what's this all about? Understand that the Gnostic belief is that there are two gods. One is the true God, Lucifer. And the other is the God of the Bible, the inferior God. And as incredible as it may seem, there are millions of people in America who embrace these ideas, and millions of them do worship Lucifer and Satan. There really are satanic covens. This is not something you just see on television, or it is here, it is real. And of course, some of this extends into very deeply into high levels of our government, but you pick up the story, Chris.
Well, speaking of high levels of our government, you know, we one of the symbols that we point out, I don't want to give away too much, because there are things that we talk about and that we reveal in this documentary that I've never seen in any other documentary or in any book.
All right, you hold that thought for just a minute.
Please.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. I guess it's Chris Pinto. We're talking about his new DVD, The Eye of the Phoenix, which we hope will be here, you know, in another week or so. We've been promised this for week in and week out, but hopefully it's going to be here, and we will be carrying it. We think it's an important addition to our armamentarium of the Secret Mysteries DVD, the Riddles and Stone DVD, and now the Eye of the Phoenix. But, of course, this deals with the symbology on the back of the dollar bill, and once you really understand it, then you can show it to others. And once they begin to understand the symbology, if they're not Christians, hopefully they're going to begin looking for answers. If they are Christians, hopefully it will increase their faith, because it demonstrates very clearly the true nature of the spiritual battle that's being fought right here in the United States on the back of the dollar bill today. Go right ahead, Chris.
And I think it's so important that people become more familiar with FDR's administration, because right now all of the mass media and the commentators and the insiders and so on, they're talking about Barack Obama, and they're basically calling him the next FDR. You know, they're associating him with Abraham Lincoln, and they're associating him with FDR. The reason they're associating him with Abraham Lincoln, I don't believe, has anything to do with him freeing the slaves as much as it does that Lincoln forced the southern and northern states to remain united. And he crushed all opposition through the Civil War. And as a result of that, they created the 14th Amendment. And the 14th Amendment reversed the citizenship of Americans. So as whereas before, if you were a citizen of the state of Alabama, you were an Alabama citizen first, and then you were a citizen of the United States second. Okay, kind of like we're all citizens of America first, and then we would be considered, you know, world citizens of the United Nations as a secondary membership, right? Well, what after the Civil War, the 14th Amendment reversed it. So now, if you're born into the United States, you are a citizen of the United States of America under the power of the federal government first, and you are a citizen of your individual state second. And I believe this is a picture of what they're eventually going to do to establish the new world order. Everyone will become world citizens.
And then, well, of course, Mr. Obama has already said, I am a citizen of the world. And you can go up at the Internet and type that in, Obama, citizen of the world. You'll find where he's actually said it. You can actually pull it up on YouTube where he said it. His loyalty is to the world. Well, how can you be loyal to the United States if you are a citizen of the world? And, of course, the purpose of the ancient mystery religions for 6,000 years has been to bring about a world government. And, of course, this has always been the purpose, and, of course, that is really what the emblem, you know, the Novus Ordoris Seclorum, written below the pyramid on the back of the dollar bill, the new secular order, or interpreted as the New World Order. But it is to be a new order. In fact, when George Bush gave his second inaugural speech, he said, you know, when our founders declared a new order of the ages, they were acting on an ancient hope that is meant to be fulfilled. Now, he said a few other things he didn't mean, but that, just to confuse the issue, but that was the essence of what he said. When our founders declared a new order of the ages, they were acting on an ancient hope that is meant to be fulfilled. If you get my talk on the Forbidden Secret, we actually give you a copy of that speech, the inaugural speech in 2005. What is this new order of the ages that our founders declared, Chris?
Well, it is that ancient hope of building the new Atlantis, resurrecting the idea, whether literally or philosophically, resurrecting the idea of Atlantis of old, and that is essentially the New World Order. And that's what they're working toward. And I, if I could say one more thing, Stan, on this whole Civil War connection. The Civil War is like an uncanny important thing to the people, to the globalists. And we showed part of it in Riddles in Stone with the statue that is there on Pennsylvania Avenue of General Meade, M-E-A-D-E. General Meade was a Civil War general who won the battle, a Northern Union general who won the Battle of Gettysburg, okay, which was considered the big decisive battle that turned the tide and ultimately brought about the victory for the North. Well, what's interesting is that Meade's statue, it's really uncanny. You go into Washington, D.C., you see his statue, and he's standing there, and he has kind of this glazed look on his face. And surrounding him are all these angelic powers, you know, winged creatures and heavenly-looking male and female figures, as though these powers and principalities are empowering him.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan. I guess it's Chris Pinto. And Chris is talking about this statue of General Meade, who won the Battle of Gettysburg, and surrounded by these almost angelic or these other ethereal beings that are there. And, of course, what we're really seeing, of course, what most people don't understand, is that many times there are spiritual powers behind the great events of history. And unless you understand that we fight not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places, until people begin to recognize the spiritual foundation of what's going on, nothing's going to change. That's what I do 5 hours a day, is try to teach them about these things. But you pick up the story, Chris.
Well, the reason I think Meade is important, I mean, if you see the statue, it's a very elaborate statue. And, you know, not many people know who Meade is. And I started reading up on him. And this and Lincoln, there's this fascination with Abraham Lincoln. And it's just typically the idea of slavery. But I think to the Luciferians, there is more to it than that. And I think they believe that, you know, again, this whole idea of America and America's destiny and so on, that occult powers were empowering the victory of the Civil War, crushing all opposition from the southern states and so on. And the idea of slavery being abolished for them is a picture of Armageddon in this way. You read Psalm chapter 2, when it says, "Why did the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his Christ, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us." It's this idea of the kings of the earth and the nations saying, let's break off the chains of God. We're not going to be God's slaves anymore. We're going to do things our way. We're going to go, you know, with our self-will and the power of Lucifer and, you know, go off and live in eternity and do things the way we want to do them. So their perception is that God is this cruel taskmaster, right, that has enslaved humanity, and they want, you know, ultimate freedom from God. That is what this whole thing, that is what these spiritual powers are driving mankind toward. And I believe that these Luciferians, who are operating in these secret societies, they know it. They know the symbolism of these things. They're not just throwing angels up there behind General Meade.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan. I guess it's Chris Pinto, a DVD motion picture producer, does great work. We love his things. We carry just about everything he's ever made. But right now, of course, before we go on, Chris, would you like to get your website out, tell people where they can get some of your material, anything they'd like to get?
Absolutely. We've got our website. Our ministry is Adullam Films, and it's A-D-U-L-L-A-M. It's like the cave Adullam in the Old Testament. But it's adullamfilms.org. Or if you can't remember that, if you can remember filmforjesus.com, FILMFORJesus.com. And that's our website, and we've got a number of our titles there and some other titles as well.
And, of course, if you get into real trouble, just Google in Chris Pinto, and I'm sure you'll get to his website. Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Give us a call if you have a question or comment. And people may wonder, well, why, you know, when the whole world is collapsing financially, the riots in Eastern Europe, the economy of Spain is collapsing, the British pound is collapsing. Certainly there are millions and millions, if some people say as many as 10 or 12 million people in China who are currently unemployed, and tremendous unrest all throughout the world. Why are you talking about this? Why are you talking about the symbology on the back of the dollar bill? And it is because I personally believe, and have been studying this for 46 years, that the forces behind the world financial system come from the occult. Why would I say that? Why, very simply, because they say that. And if you want to read a little pamphlet we have called The Working of the Spiritual Hierarchy, it's put out by the Lucius Trust. It used to be the Lucifer Publishing House. But The Working of the Spiritual Hierarchy, and you read it, and they will tell you they have their people planted in the financial system all throughout the world. And, of course, the people on the other side, those involved with the occult, obviously must have thought there was a great deal to this. That's why they put their emblem on the back of the American dollar bill. And say what you will, of course, about it, it was put on there by occultists, there's no question. Henry Wallace, the Secretary of the Agriculture at the time, was deeply involved in the occult, being both a theosophist and a 32nd degree Mason, as was FDR. They understood the occult. They worshipped a different god, and that's why, of course, they saw nothing wrong with, of course, taking us into the Second World War, and, of course, precipitating that war intentionally and purposely, and doing everything they could to manipulate the Japanese into attacking us by cutting off their supply of oil. What would the United States do tomorrow if they put an oil embargo so we couldn't get any oil anywhere in the world? Why would it have to go to war? It was an act of war. And we had already done that, Japan. They couldn't get any natural resources of any sort. They had no natural resources. They only had a few months before the whole structure of government collapsed, and we knew the attack was coming, and we kept the information away from the people there at Pearl Harbor, the commanders, because we wanted a spectacle, a terrible spectacle, that would mobilize the American people and prepare them for war. And the president had simply lied to us. But then when you worship a different god, you see nothing wrong with lying. When the president went, and I remember, I'm old enough to remember FDR saying, "I hate war. Eleanor hates war. Even little Fala hates war. And I promise you no American boy would ever fight on foreign soil." And he was already planning on how they were going to be slaughtered there at Pearl Harbor. When you understand that, well, you can begin to understand what we're really up against today. Our number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. Go right ahead, Chris.
Well, I think, I've seen a documentary on, History Channel, like official documentary that deals with FDR, and I've actually seen that speech that you just quoted there, Dr. Stan, and it's pretty uncanny. And even modern historians today, conservative historians, like official History Channel type guys, admit that FDR knew more than he let on to the American people. And they've just found all these different ways to try and spin it. And to try and rationalize it to show that maybe he wasn't such a bad guy, or it's too difficult a thing to judge, and this kind of thing. But it's very clear that he was manipulating events in American politics and world politics to advance this whole global agenda. And part of what we talk about is the role that Nicholas Roerich played for a time, because Roerich was apparently being used as an instrument of American intelligence and the White House, apparently, to facilitate an Asian union, okay, among the Buddhist theocracies that existed in Central Asia of that time. And this is where he spent a lot of his time. He was supposedly over there for the Department of Agriculture searching out, you know, seeds and grasses to help combat the Dust Bowl. That was the official story. But evidence has surfaced through the years that, well, it's provable that he was involved with all of these different political figures in that region. A guy, the Tashi Lama and then the Dalai Lama, who are apparently at odds with each other, and trying to create this great Asian Union. Now today, of course, the Asian Union is moving forward. It's something that a lot of people know about. But Rorik seems to have been at the ground level of trying to facilitate this and to bring it about. And what they're doing is they're, you know, we've got the European Union. They're working on this North American Union. There's talk of this African Union. And then they've got the Asian Union. And I think what they're doing is they're following the geopolitical plan that had been talked about by Karl Haushofer back during Hitler's era in Germany. And Haushofer's writings on geopolitics apparently were picked up by Hitler. And Haushofer talked about how they needed to think in terms of taking whole continents. In other words, don't worry about just taking a city or a town or whatever. Take the whole continent, okay, and then you unite the continent, and then after you've united the continents individually, then you unite the whole world. And that seems to be what they're doing, that they're going to unify all these individual regions and then sew them together like a patchwork quilt into a single world system.
Well, you know, it's very interesting. I think they've even changed their plan, because if you go up and you read the article that Henry Kissinger wrote in the International Herald Tribune on the 12th of January, just a few days ago, the International Herald Tribune, the 12th of January, and of course the article is entitled "The Chance for a New World Order." And you can get that on the Internet. Just type in Henry Kissinger, the Chance for a New World Order, or International Herald Tribune, New Financial System. And you can pull it up, or if you can't, we'll be glad to send you a copy of it. And he talks about how this financial collapse that is occurring all throughout the world is going to give this wonderful opportunity for the world to form this new world order, this new world system. And then he goes on to say, you know, we really have two choices. One, of course, is to go along with this new world system, or we will have chaos. And he, that's his word, not mine. The world is going to break into fragments. We'll have chaos. And the whole structure of the world is going to collapse. And this is exactly why we are doing everything to promote it. This is why Henry Paulson would not use the $700 billion he was given to buy up mortgage bonds, you know, that had just brought the whole system down with that $700 billion. He could have stopped the whole thing. He could have bought up enough mortgage loans to have saved the economy of the world. The reason he didn't do that was not because he had to liquefy the banks, because they were not having a problem. We have that from the Federal Reserve Bank in Minneapolis and from the Salent Report. You'll certainly want to get our material and read it at my November, December, and January newsletters. But they want to create this crisis. It's going to be, people are going to lose their homes, their jobs, their pensions. Everything they've worked their whole life for is going to be destroyed in the coming hyperinflation. But what a wonderful world opportunity to bring order out of chaos. And I believe that is exactly what they're going to do. What do you think?
Well, yeah, I mean, that I think is part of it. Now, what I'm wondering, and then I admit I'm just speculating, I think they're definitely using economy. I think they use economy and war as kind of two of their chief tools. Because what they do is they threaten the security, the well-being of the population. And if the population feels threatened by either war, the threat of war, or the threat of economy, then they'll be willing, you know, the threat of economic collapse, then they're willing to make compromises that they would not otherwise make. And so after 9/11, let's say, 9/11 happens, now everybody's afraid of terrorism, so they're willing to make compromises and let Bush do things that they wouldn't normally let somebody do. Well, then that plan gets old for a while, and people start, they get sick of war. So then they start to weaken the economy. They flip the other way now. Okay? And so now people are afraid for the economy, and so now they're willing to vote for a guy like Barack Obama that many Americans would never have voted for otherwise. Okay, but they think he's going to help the economy, so let's get him in there. And so I think they kind of go back and forth with it. I think both of these tools are like two tools that they pull out of the toolbox to move this whole thing forward. That's how I see it.
All right, fine. Well, it sounds like a great idea. Let's go to Tom, who's calling us from Missouri. Hi, Tom. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine. Do you have a question or comment for our guest?
I do. I heard Chris's two Megiddo videos, and I thought there was going to be either a three or a five-part series to that. Is that correct?
You know what? It is. Lord willing, that will ultimately be correct. What happened with the Megiddos is I did Megiddo 1, Megiddo 2, and then began work on the Secret Mystery series. And for the past few years, you know, we've done three parts to that, and then, of course, I worked on Kinsey, and so I just haven't been able yet to get back and do Megiddo 3, which I'm still planning to do, but it's been delayed for a few years.
Yeah, I have all those DVDs, and those are actually some of my favorites to pass out to enlighten people when it's an initial offering to somebody to really open their eyes, and I think they're excellent for that purpose.
I think they are, too, and this is why we carry them. I'm glad you've got them. I'm glad you're getting them out, and we're really looking forward. I hope within the next week or so we'll have the Eye of the Phoenix. What are the chances of getting it, Chris? What do you
know? I thought you were supposed to get it by yesterday.
All right, well, yeah. Maybe we'll get it by tomorrow. Anyway, God bless. Anything else you want to say, Tom, before we let you go?
Actually, I have another question, and it sounds like I have another DVD to buy.
All right, fine. Well, I hope so.
Another question. You're making a comment about all the different people, whether it's Bush or Kissinger, that makes the New World Order comment. What is the best way to bridge from that comment to the one world government? What small snippet could we add that would bridge that gap?
Well, because the New World Order is the world government. There's
right.
Just no question that they go hand in hand.
But Dr. Stan, my question is how do we make that connection to people that are uneducated? Is my question.
Well, how would you answer that, Chris?
Well, I think that's kind of the sum and total of what we're doing in my documentaries, you know, that I produce and direct and so on, is to try and show people. Concrete evidence. I mean, right now, this, if you wanted to show somebody, if I were you, I'd go online and find one of these internet mainstream articles of Kissinger talking about Obama being poised to bring about a new world order. And a lot of times for people, when they see it in print like that, and they realize, you know, like if they see a video clip of George Bush mentioning the new world order, Bush Sr. especially, or Bush Jr. mentioning the new order of the ages, quite often that will open their eyes and they'll realize this whole thing is real. This is not a conspiracy theory.
And
this is real.
And I totally agree with that in video format, but I have a 100-word limit to a letter to the editor, and I was wanting to fit in some quote that would bridge the gap.
If you don't have a copy of the book, The Secret Destiny of America by Manly P. Hall, you can get it through us. It's hard to come by. We do carry it on the special list. It's not that expensive. And he makes it very clear that this new world order, the emblem on the back of the dollar bill, all of this ties into the world government. That has always been the dream, always been the plan, to bring about a world government and the world leader, who, of course, they don't say as such, but the world leader is Lucifer. Hey, we're going to have to let you go. God bless, and let's go to Mike, who's calling from Santa Cruz. Hi, Mike. Do you have a question?
Yeah, I was curious what Chris might understand about the name Washington District of Columbia. Who is the Columbia?
Do you have any thoughts on this whole idea of Columbia?
You know what? I have, I encountered a history of that a number of years ago, and I know that the goddess Columbia is a figure that is repeated throughout Washington, D.C., and she seems to be a type of the mother goddess figure. The whole idea of this mother goddess, virgin goddess figure for liberty and justice and Columbia and all these different ideas, whether it's philosophy or knowledge and so on, they repeat it all over the place in Washington, D.C., in all of the buildings and the monuments and so on. And it just seems to be the archetype of the ancient Babylonian goddess Semiramis. That is the way I see it. But I would have to do a more in-depth study to get you more detailed information than that.
Okay, Mike, I hope that answers your question. And let's go to Gary calling in from Seaside. Hi, Gary. How are you doing?
I'm doing good, and you?
No complaints at all. Doesn't do any good to complain. Everybody's always got a worse story. So what can we do for you?
Well, you know, I just got my latest version of News with Views, and in that came a notification that our illustrious Homeland Security is wanting us to implement clergy response teams. In other words, obey the Bible and Romans 13.
That's just what they did. Germany.
Pardon me?
That's just what they did in Hitler's Germany. They emphasized Romans 13. Erwin Lutzer, the senior minister at the Moody Bible Church in Chicago, has written a wonderful book called Hitler's Cross, and he talks about how they used Romans 13 in Hitler's Germany to keep the people in line, keep the Christians in line.
What's kind of amazing about this is that now that they're done with us, they want us to be good little Christians.
You're right.
Is what it seems like to me, you know.
You're absolutely
now that
right.
We've served their purpose, you know, and I think that this article, if it was passed along to people in doubt of intent and who know the government at all, I mean, it's pretty obvious. It should be pretty obvious what's going on.
I think we're in real trouble, but our job is to get the word out. Our job is to get Christians educated and understand the true nature of the spiritual struggle. Hey, we're going to have to let you go. We're out of time. God bless.
God bless.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. We've got Chris Pinto here, and we have one more call. It's from Rod in Santa Cruz. Hi, Rod. Do you have a question or comment?
Yeah, I have a question for Chris.
Go ahead.
In regard to, I don't know the actual verse reference, but there are those that call themselves Jews that are a synagogue of Satan. I would ask Chris, does he see any correspondence to that scriptural verse and what the government of Israel is, how they actually tie into this world order that is trying to, further its cause? Do you see a correlation between the government of Israel and that verse?
And the whole idea of the synagogue of Satan. Well, you know, I've always seen the synagogue of Satan verse as having to do with, you know, kind of like the Pharisees that Jesus confronted when he said, you know, if Abraham were your father, you would do the works of Abraham, but you do the work of your father, the devil, and the lusts of your father shall you do. Again, the scripture says, he is not a Jew who is one outwardly, but who is one inwardly. As Paul says, they are not all Israel who are of Israel. The sons of the flesh, these are not the sons of God, and so on. So that's, you know, my understanding of synagogue of Satan, and so on. Where the modern government of Israel is concerned, there are a lot of times people will argue, they present the argument that because many of the Jewish leaders and Jewish people and so on are involved in idolatry or different occult groups and this kind of thing, and they have these occult teachings and so on, that is somehow or other evidence that they're not really Jews or arguments to this effect. I go to Ezekiel chapter 36, where God is talking about bringing Israel back into the land.
Mm-hmm.
And he says to them, he says, I do not this for your sake, O house of Israel, but for my holy name's sake, that you have profaned in all the nations to which you've gone.
Yep.
And so God, these are not, you know, faithful and obedient people that God's bringing back in the land. God says he's going to bring them back in Ezekiel 36, and then after he brings them in, he will cleanse them from their idols.
Mm-hmm.
So if they were this faithful and obedient people, then it wouldn't be the fulfillment of Ezekiel 36. The fact that they're guilty of idolatry and that they profane God's name and things like, actually all of that is evidence that God's word is true and this is the fulfillment of what he said.
Beautiful answer. Hey, we're going to have to let you go. And, Chris, thank you so very much for being with us. It's always a pleasure. And we're really looking forward to seeing that DVD. The longer it goes, the more anxious I get. God bless, and thanks so much.
All right. Thank you, Stan. God bless you.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and certainly I want you to know that Radio Liberty is primarily listener-supported, and if you're in a position to help us, we'd love to hear from you. You can join the Radio Liberty family, or you can subscribe to the newsletter or get some of our products, whatever you'd like to do. But we do have an outreach, and we're reaching people, and the more people we reach, the more people are going to understand the true spiritual nature of the battle we're involved in today. Now, if you haven't seen Chris's previous DVDs, Megiddo 1, Megiddo 2, and Chris Tom back there in Ohio, which had them all, the Secret Mysteries of America's Beginning, Riddles in Stone, that's four DVDs, and then he has one more on Kinsey, which is excellent. They're all available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. The DVD entitled The Eye of the Phoenix is going to be $24.95. We will have it in. I've been promised repeatedly within a week. If you want to order it now, so you don't forget it, we'll take your order and get it for you when it's available. That's The Eye of the Phoenix. But understand that all of these are aimed to educate you so that you can educate others. And there is certainly a definite relationship between this idea of a new world order and this one world government they really intend. And there are a lot of people say, what's wrong with a world government? Well, of course, what's wrong with it is means we lose our freedom. And, of course, the UN Declaration gives you all these wonderful rights as long as they're okay with the government. But the government that gives you the rights can take away your rights. In America, our rights come from God. We're the only country where the rights come from God. And that is why they hate God, why they're trying to take Christianity out of the minds and hearts of our children. That's why they took Christianity and God out of our schools and the Ten Commandments out of our schools and prayers and nativity scenes out of our schools. Because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty, and these people want a dictatorship. They are ruthless, and of course they are in positions of total power today. If you've not yet read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, you need to get it. You need to go up on the internet and read our newsletters we have up there. Our November newsletter is excellent. The November newsletter will be up there in a couple of days. And it just explains how they created this whole financial collapse and how they're going about in their plan to impoverish the American people and rob them of their life savings, everything they've worked their whole life to put aside. And believe me, they believe that if they can impoverish the American people will accede to their demands and go along with their plan for the New World Order, the New World Religion. Well, our job is to educate people, and we hope that you're talking to people. We hope that this new DVD, going to the background of the emblems on the back of the dollar bill, will be a useful teaching tool. In fact, that's the reason it was made. In fact, we put some money in to help complete the DVD because we felt so very strongly that this is an important thing that you will have. And so this is why we're supposed to be on the list, to get the DVDs first. And, well, as everything goes, sometimes there's a great deal of difference between what people intend and what happens. But under any circumstances, I know that David Bay and Chris Pendle will get them as soon as possible. If you've never heard my talk on the Forbidden Secret, you need to get it. And the syllabus that goes with that, our talk on the planned police state and the syllabus that goes with it, our four-tape CD set on the murder or the assassination of Martin Luther King. He was actually killed by the CIA. Of course, we have great interviews on with Mr. Robert Wilcox on how they killed General Patton. I have no question it's true, because I've seen a lot of other evidence about it. I even have a book written by a four-star Marine general, Pedro Duval, telling how he was asked to go to Japan to discredit and get on General MacArthur's staff and discredit General MacArthur.